Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
Come on, we're about to celebrate the goodness of God, and I've got a gospel message to preach today, but how many of you guys know that we got to receive it with faith? We got to receive with faith. If we don't have faith, none of this is going to do anything. Other, we're just going to sit here and listen. We don't want to. We want to receive with faith and respond to what God is saying. So I want us to prepare our hearts to receive. I believe lives are going to be changed and transformed today by the power of the blood of Jesus. So will you do this? Will you slip up your hand all over this room? If you're joining us online right now, you do the same. We're glad that you're here. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you today that we can come into the house and celebrate your goodness. Lord, today, God, is a day, God, where we are not down and out, but we are rejoicing, Jesus, because you are alive. And we pray that today, God, as we get into your word, that your word is alive and active. God, it divides between soul and spirit. Lord, it right now, God, may your word, God, just take root and bear fruit in our lives, and may we respond to the power of your spirit that's here today. So, God, give us ears to hear and a heart to understand, and we give you praise that we're leaving differently than how we arrived today, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Come on, if you're ready, I need one more time to somebody give Jesus praise on this Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. 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 Man, I love getting the honor and privilege to preach and teach God's word. We are so glad you're here today. And if you are here for the first time, it is our joy. If you're joining us for the first time today online, it is our joy and privilege that we get to worship with you. And I can't wait to meet you right after service in our foyer. I'll eat a waffle with you. We'll hang out together. But I'm so excited to preach and teach today. And can I tell you why it's such a beautiful day? How many of you guys know that Jesus is alive? Jesus is alive, and not only is Jesus alive, but he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords. The last 72 hours, we have remembered and reflected on the sacrifice of Jesus. We've been in the Feast of Passover and thanking him that he's the eternal Passover lamb, but today we don't just remember, we rejoice that even though Christ died, he got back up. Even though Christ died, he got back up. And you say, Pastor, is that important? Absolutely, it's important. Let me show you from God's word why this is important, that we celebrate today. We don't just get through today, but we celebrate today. Look what the Apostle Paul said under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He said, and if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is what? Useless. If Christ had not been raised and your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins, in that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied. Look to your neighbor and say, boo-hoo. Come on, tell them. We are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Christ has been raised. Somebody shout, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And listen, he didn't just barely get up from the dead. He rose with all power and all authority. And in Revelation 1:18, here's what he declared. He said, I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. How many of you guys are thankful that today Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father and he's got a keychain with the keys to death and hell and the grave, and he rules with authority over heaven and the earth. That's the day that we should be celebrating. We should be thanking Jesus for who he is and what he's done. Come on, somebody. The tomb is empty, so we don't have to be. We get to be full of purpose and passion and power in Jesus' name. And so it's a day that we should be rejoicing and celebrating because Jesus died for us and he is alive in us today. If you believe it, somebody say amen. Amen. Now that's just my introduction. Because I've got a word today that God just has divinely put into my spirit. And so it's my assignment on this Resurrection Easter Sunday to preach on this subject, the missing piece. The missing, everybody say the missing piece. The missing piece. Now, I've got to build a little bit where I'm headed today, so I do hope you ate a couple waffles so you have the energy to go with me. Come on. But I want to build as we see this today. But on this Easter Sunday, the day that we celebrate Jesus rose from the dead, I want to go all the way back to why. I want to go all the way back to why. Why did Jesus have to come to earth and die on a cross for us? Why did Jesus have to come back to earth and come to earth and die on a cross for us? You see, when we read the account of creation in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, everything was complete. When we read the account of creation in Genesis 1 and 2, everything was complete. Nothing missing, nothing broken. In fact, you can read Genesis 2 for yourself, and we see that God looked at everything he created, and he called it very good. He called it very good. There was peace in the world. There was peace between God and man. And then we go to Genesis chapter 3. And we get to Genesis chapter 3 on this Resurrection Sunday. And I want us to see what took place, because something shifted in that chapter that was different from chapter 1 and chapter 2. Look what Genesis 3 verses 1 through 6 says. It says, "Then the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say?'" How many of you guys know if the devil ever tells you, "Did God really do something?" You need to tell him to shut up in Jesus' name. Come on. Just a few of you are with me on that one? Come on, I just said you could say shut up in Jesus' name. Help me out. Come on this morning. "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat from fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. Men, you're just as guilty, so don't you stop looking at your wife right now. And he ate it too. Right then, in this text, we see right there what was complete became broken. What was complete that God had created became broken. Something was missing. There was no longer peace between God and man. There was no longer true and close and intimate relationship between God and humanity. How many of you guys know when God made us, he made us to have an intimate, close relationship with us? A personal relationship. And when this happened in Genesis 3, something all of a sudden was broken. There was a missing peace. There was a missing peace. It was like everything in the world that God designed went from this beautiful, perfect portrait to a puzzle in pieces. It's like what God had designed went from this portrait to a puzzle in pieces. And there was this missing piece. Let me ask a question. Does anybody like puzzles in this room? How many of you guys say, "I don't like puzzles because I don't have the patience for puzzles"? That's me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't like puzzles growing up because I couldn't sit still long enough to do them. But when I had kids, I had to play with puzzles again. And listen to me. I like the puzzles like these that had the bigger pieces that were 10 pieces or less because my brain wouldn't overheat. Can I get a witness? Come on. I had one of these puzzles. And I loved putting them together and getting the pieces and doing all those things. And then they've gotten older, and now they've got these puzzles that got like 1,000 pieces in them. And you got all these pieces everywhere. And all of a sudden, I don't know about you, I started thinking about, as I was preparing for this sermon, did you ever put a puzzle together and you get to the very end and then you found out there was one piece missing? Let's talk about devastation. Whether it's puzzles or Legos, the bitter tragedy of missing one piece to complete it. Has anyone else felt that pain? It's terrible. Look to your neighbor and say, "I'm praying for you." Come on, if they felt it. It's amazing how one missing piece can just throw everything off. How one missing piece can be so frustrating. And listen to me, for almost 4,000 years from Adam and Eve, generations of humanity tried to put their lives together, but there was always a missing piece. Anybody see where I'm going this morning? Come on, I know you're like, "Look, you don't look that smart. I'm smarter than you think I am. You better relax a little bit." For 4,000 years from Adam and Eve, their generations of humanity kept trying to put the pieces of their lives together, but there was always this missing piece. And even then, listen, even then they had pieces of lives that they would try to bring together to find completion and contentment. Even back then they had relationships. Even back then they could work and they could have possessions and riches. They could have hobbies and spouses and children. They even had religion. And so how many of you guys know there are times that we can take pieces in our lives and we try to put pieces together. They try to put pieces that wouldn't fit in the puzzle. They would try to put things together. No matter what they would do, they just wouldn't work out. But they even had religion. They had the law. They had rules and regulations. And so the next thing you know, they were living their lives together, trying to put these pieces together, and they would find themselves, even in religion, before Jesus, it would almost fit, but not entirely. It would almost fit, but there was still this missing piece. Look to your neighbor and say, there was a missing piece. They would almost fit, and there was this separation between God and people that brought a restlessness. It brought an emptiness. It brought a void in the heart and soul of humanity that could not be filled or satisfied. There was a missing piece, and can I tell you, that missing piece even then was peace. Not P-I-E-C-E, but P-E-A-C-E. That missing piece was peace. That missing piece that humanity longed for was peace. The peace that came from truly knowing God and having a genuine relationship with God like Adam and Eve had shared with him in the garden. But can I tell you, God is so good. How many of you guys believe that God is so good? Come on. God is so good and he loves us so much. Even then, God had a plan. Anybody thankful that we serve a God who's always got a plan? God has a plan and he had a plan of redemption. And God's plan of redemption was the missing piece. Let me show you a verse of scripture that most of us in this room even know. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. That was God's plan because there was a missing piece in humanity. I need you to see this morning as we're getting to what God is saying. The first Adam made a mistake that brought separation, but did you know God sent another Adam? Come on, somebody. The first Adam made a mistake that brought separation, but the Father sent another Adam with the solution. Pastor, what are you talking about? Right here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, it says the scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ. Anybody thankful for Jesus? The last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. So see this, Maker's Church. Adam and Eve brought pain that fractured humanity's relationship with God. Jesus brought peace that fixed it. Adam and Eve brought pain that fractured humanity's relationship with God. Jesus brought peace that fixed it. Listen to me. Jesus was the missing piece that brought right relationship and peace back to humanity and God. That was Jesus. Somebody say amen if you believe that. Adam and Eve brought pain. Jesus brought peace. And some of you say, Pastor, listen, I feel like you're stretching this piece to make it fit in this puzzle. Nope. Let me show you why. Because what we find is that even before Jesus came, God had revealed to the prophet Isaiah hundreds of years before Jesus got here. Isaiah 9 verses 6 and 7, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of peace. Let me go further, though. Look right here. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. If that one's not enough, how about the same prophecy about Jesus, but in Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Somebody just take a minute and thank Jesus in this room. Come on, for what he did for us. Listen to me, but we got to go further. We got to go see New Testament for a minute, because some of you say, that's just Old Testament. How about Romans chapter 5, verse 1? Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have what? Peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. So for 4,000 years, there was this separation between humanity and God. For 4,000 years, there was this missing peace. But when Jesus came, Maker's Church, all of a sudden, did I get it the wrong way? Here, let's do that one. When Jesus came, all of a sudden, what was broken, what was missing became complete, and Jesus became the missing piece for our lives. Come on, church. Jesus, you say, Pastor, why is that peace red? Because only the blood of Jesus could have made that peace right. Only the blood of Jesus could have brought it and made us correct in the sight of the Father. Jesus became the missing piece for humanity. When Jesus died and rose from the grave, he became what humanity was missing. Humanity kept trying to fill their lives with something else. Humanity kept trying to fill their lives with so many other things. Generation after generation would fill the void with peace after peace, hoping they could find peace. But only Jesus could fill that void. Only Jesus could bring peace. And listen, the only peace that would work, he had a name. His name was Jesus. Pastor, are you saying that the missing piece for everybody in the world is Jesus? Yes. Let me show you. How many of you guys know we need to learn, we need to know the Bible? Come on. Let me show you from God's word. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. Look at this. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. Here it is. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you and me to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Jesus took you and me that were incomplete, and he made us complete. He filled the void that nothing else could fill. Jesus redeemed us and restored us so we could know God like Adam and Eve did in the garden. He redeemed us and restored us so we could know Adam. We can know God like Adam and Eve did in the garden. Because of Jesus, you and I can have a real and genuine relationship with the Father. If you believe that, somebody say amen. It's powerful, church. Jesus has always been the missing piece that brings peace. Jesus has always been the missing piece that brings peace. But let's fast forward to 2023, because I've been talking a lot about history this morning. And the truth is that the world in which you and I live, there are more people than ever looking for a peace in their heart and mind, and they don't know where to find it. There are more people, and you might even be in this room today. You came today, and you do not have peace. You came in this room this morning looking for peace in your heart and your mind. And there's more people more than ever before. And you say, Pastor, why is that? Because it seems like life has become even more puzzling. It seems that life has become even more puzzling today in the world in which we live. It seems like more people are stressed, more people are anxious, more people are depressed, more people are afraid, more people are frustrated, more people are filled with pressure. There are so many pieces, and you know what we all do? We all try to solve the puzzle. There are so many pieces, and we all try to solve the puzzle. And so what do? Rather than not knowing that Jesus could be our peace, we try to take all these other pieces and we start trying to solve the puzzle. We try to take all these pieces and we try to fill these spaces in our lives, these pieces in our lives, and we say, well, if I could just get more stuff, then I'll have peace. But it doesn't fit. We say, well, if I could get married and that'll fill the loneliness in my heart and then I'll have peace. But then we find that doesn't make it. But then we say, well, if I had more money, if I had more things, if I could turn on the computer and I could look at pornography and that'll fulfill my heart. Or if I had a boat or a house or a car, all of these things, and none of them seem to fit the void in our hearts and our lives. And we take all these pieces. And what's crazy is, for each of us, we can get to a place where we find a piece that almost fits. We can find a piece that almost works. And if you've ever been like me doing a puzzle with your kids, if you find a piece that almost works and it's the missing piece, you will hammer it in there and say, you're done. Look, it works. See, look, Daddy made it go away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You've done it. That's why you're laughing. It seems like Satan knows that Jesus is the missing piece. And he's constantly offering us pieces for our lives that we try to put in the framework of our understanding to say, okay, maybe this is the peace, achievements. Maybe this is the peace, possessions. Maybe relationships, even more people. Maybe that's the missing piece that I need so I can have peace in my heart and I can have peace in my mind. Listen to me. Nothing can fill that space except the true missing piece, who is Jesus. Nothing can fill that space other than Jesus. Nothing can fill that space other than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the missing piece, and he is the only one that can bring you peace. He's the only one that can bring you peace. And listen to me. If you accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, you can have peace in every part of your life. Now notice what I just said. If you can accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, you can have peace in every part of your life. Pastor, prove it to me. How about this verse? It's a powerful verse. 2 Thessalonians verses, chapter 3, verse 16. Look at this. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. Is that not powerful? Look at it. May the Lord of peace himself give you his peace. Whose peace? His peace. His peace that passes all understanding. His peace that is perfect. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. Somebody say amen. But here's where it goes deep for just a minute. Because some of you say, well, hang on, Pastor. I believe in Jesus, but I don't have that kind of peace. I know why. I believe in Jesus, but I don't have that kind of peace in every situation and in every part of my life. Listen to me. I know why. Because a true relationship with God consists of two things. Are you ready? It's believing that Jesus is your Savior, and then it's bowing to Jesus as your Lord. So can I get plain and deep on Easter Sunday? I'm going to button up my jacket so I can feel more prestigious here just for a minute, okay? In the Western world in which we live, we have only preached Jesus as Savior. And so people think, well, I believe that Jesus is my Savior. Now I get all the benefits of being in his kingdom. But there's a second part to this relationship with Jesus. It's not just accepting him as Savior. It's bowing to him as the Lord of your life. You see, because when you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, put that scripture back up there. I want you to see this. Look at this. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. So that way you don't miss it. Because it does not say, now may the Savior of peace himself. Now may the who? Now may the Lord of peace. May the Lord of peace himself give you his peace. You say, well, Pastor, I thought salvation was a gift that we could receive. It's very simple to receive. How about we go to Romans chapter 10 and see how easy it is? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Look what it says there in God's word. If you openly declare that Jesus is Savior, if you openly declare that Jesus is what? Lord. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For it is believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. You see, receiving the gift of salvation means believing in Jesus as Savior and then bowing to Jesus as the Lord of your life. The reason there are people that don't have peace and have been coming to church for 40 years and have been saying they've been in a relationship with Jesus, it's because you haven't bowed your knee and your heart to the Lord. There's so many people that say, Jesus, thank you for saving me. But listen, he can't complete your life until he's Savior and Lord. When he becomes the Lord, that's when you get complete peace. That's when you can live in the fullness of what God has for your life. And so on this Easter Sunday, I think there are people, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, but I believe there's some people that need to submit to Jesus as Lord today. There are some people to say, Lord, thank you that you are my Savior, but now I need to say, you know what? I've tried to do it my way for so long, I don't have peace anymore, and I need you. How many of you guys know that peace is at a premium? Come on, peace is at a premium. Come on, we're even seeing a spirit of suicide jump on our sons and daughters in today's day and age. Anxiety is high, depression is high, fear and worry and all of these things keep sweeping through humanity. Do you want to know why? Because people don't have peace in their heart and their mind anymore. People don't have peace in their heart and their mind anymore. So all of a sudden, we don't have peace. And you want to know why? Because it's not enough to just say, Jesus, you're my Savior. But you also must say, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. I give all control to you. Whoa, Pastor, control. I know, I like control. I give all of my control, Lord, to you. Lord, I give you the keys to the car of my life. Lord, I submit to your will and your way. I can't do it without you. Listen, you've been doing it your way, and you keep trying to make pieces fit into the puzzle of your life that won't go, and they won't stay. But when you accept Jesus, listen, what does 2 Thessalonians 3:16 say? The God of peace give you his peace in all situations, in every part of your life. Either he's Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. We've got to say yes to him, because he's the missing piece. And he's the missing piece for all of humanity. He's the missing piece for each of us, and he's the missing piece for all of us. And can I tell you, I do not believe Jesus died and got back up so there would be people walking in this life dealing with anxiety every day. I do not believe that Jesus died and got back up so there would be people that would constantly struggle with fear and worry and depression and a spirit of suicide every day. I believe the blood of Jesus was shed so we could all be set free and live in peace. If you believe that, somebody give God a shout of praise in this house. But it starts with us saying, Jesus, you're the missing piece. Jesus, you're the missing piece. And I want your peace in every part of my life. Come on, stand with me all over the room today. Come on, I want you right now, if you're willing, I want you to lift your hands all over this room and just thank Jesus for his life. Come on, that he gave for you. I want you to thank him that his blood was shed, that you could have peace. Come on, take a minute and just talk to Jesus. He's here right now. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit. He's here today to bring peace to every heart and to every mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.